Now it's time for us to discuss more of these headlines and simple keywords with Adam joining us via Zoom. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Lena, and happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, indeed. We're not celebrating any occasion, marking any occasion.
It is a children's book day today.
You're kidding.
I've been notified. Every day is some day, isn't it? It's quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to raise awareness about because the news cycle is not busy enough.
Yeah. If you have children, buy the books. That's what
it's funny because shouldn't every day be children's book day? But hey, how about that? Just a friendly reminder.
Maybe. But it's one of those days to recognize the occasion, I guess.
All right, let's move on to our keyword news portion of the day. We're going to try to clarify some of the major headlines for our listeners. As we mentioned on the segment yesterday, President Yoon did address the nation, specifically on the med school quota hike. But as we guessed, and that was an educated guess, still at a stalemate. Our first keyword of the day.
Unified proposal.
So President Yoon has doubled down on his plan to increase medical school admissions by 2,000 per year. This came in a nationwide address. So run us through what was said.
Yeah, so it's pretty much a kind of a reiteration of what has been said before, just in a nationwide televised address. He stressed that the 2,000 increase is a carefully calculated figure, and he said it is the minimum needed. And he cited an expected shortage of some 15,000 doctors by 2035. These are comments and statements that have been made by the government previously and tried to warrant its plan. You said the government reviewed all statistics and research and carefully reviewed the current and future situations as well. And he pointed out it takes around 10 years to train a new doctor fully, say that the plan needs to be implemented now. He also noted that the 2,000 figure followed a series of discussions with the medical community as well, so saying that it was discussed and it was from feedback from the medical community. And he shot back at critics who called a hike of 2,000 seats excessive and a unilateral move by the government. He said doctors opposed to the plan should stop making threats via collective action, and he urged the striking doctors to return to work and warned of legal consequences if they don't. Again, reiterating a kind of a hardline stance, although somewhat a little bit softer than before, saying the government does remain open to talks if doctors come up with what he called a unified proposal that adequately explains why adding 2,000 more students is too steep of an increase. So he's basically saying, well, if you're not happy with it, then counter with a better offer, basically. He said the plan won't lead to lower earnings for doctors as well, something that some members of the medical community have been citing as concerns. He said the expected increases in national income and demand for medical services in the fast-aging society warrant this as well. And he said the average income of Korean doctors is actually the highest in the developed world. He also expressed regrets at the inconvenience caused to the public due to the medical vacuum, and he apologized to the public as well for not resolving or not being able to resolve the issue quicker. Now, of course, his statement and his speech did come with some criticism. The new head of the Korean Medical Association, Im Hyun-taek, actually refused to comment on Yoon's address, saying he had no position on the matter, and that was his official position. His remarks were kind of construed as indicating he feels no reason to respond so long as the government insists on boosting med school enrollment by 2,000. So he's basically saying it's not really worth a response. But the former KMA head, Noh Han Yu, criticized Yoon's address as false in a social media post. He accused Yoon of providing biased information and described it as an abuse of power as well. So, yeah, still no leeway from either side. And his speech didn't really do much to alleviate any concerns of the medical community, or wasn't really that much softer in the government stance. But there you have it. So the stalemate is likely to continue.
All in the meanwhile, patient anxiety grows over healthcare disruptions. We leave it there for now. Let's move on to our second keyword this morning. So we've talked about future growth engines. What will be Korea's bread and butter, following closely in the footsteps of the semiconductor industry? Which brings us to our second keyword of the day.
Boosting bio industry.
So the government aims to grow Korea's bio industry into a major sector similar to the semiconductor industry by 2030. I know some of our listeners may not remember, but in the 80s, no one was talking about semiconductors. They thought we were crazy. But look how far we've come. We've got to start early. Run us through the plan.
Right. So around about that time, it was pretty much let's get exports up and running and make Korea richer by, you know, exporting as much semiconductors as possible. But yes, it was met with some skepticism, but look where we are now. So the government is basically trying to do the same with the bio industry as well. The trade ministry announced plans to increase the production and export values of biopharmaceuticals to 15 trillion won and $10 billion respectively. Now, the ministry highlighted that Korea currently ranks second worldwide in biopharmaceutical manufacturing capabilities, thanks to significant private investments. Now, to maintain and extend this lead, the government will invest 2.1 trillion won from this year to 2030 in various initiatives, including R&D. Now, the government wants to create a biomaterials, parts, and equipment ecosystem, establishing industry foundations and supporting global expansion as well. This is expected to catalyze an additional 17.7 trillion won in private investments by the year 2030. Now, in addition to budgetary support, the government plans to facilitate smooth private investments through policy financing of 4.2 trillion won in the biohealth sector for this year alone, provided by state-run banks such as the Industrial Bank of Korea. The government also plans to launch the Korea version of BioMade, a biomanufacturing innovation platform, after conducting preliminary feasibility studies. This initiative aims to upgrade advanced production processes in the bio sector by collaborating with leading international organizations like BioMade in the United States.
And on to our third key word. Let's talk about the unveiling of the fastest bullet train in Korea. It's funny because bullet trains are already fast, aren't they? Our third keyword of the day.
Faster KTX.
The faster the better. Korea has unveiled new KTX trains that are faster and stop at fewer stations. They are expected to enter service come May this year. So what's the latest?
Yeah, so if there's one thing that can be said about Korean people is they can be a bit impatient and they like things to be a bit quicker than it already is. So, of course, KTX are, yes, very fast, but the KTX has developed a new train that's even faster. The announcement came as President Yoon joined the KTX's 20th anniversary celebrations at Korea Railroad headquarters in Daejeon. The new class of bullet train boasts a maximum speed of 320 kilometers per hour. It is the first domestically designed and manufactured train to actually achieve that speed, surpassing 300 kilometers per hour. Now, beginning in May, the KTX Cheongryong will operate four times a day between Seoul and Busan and twice a day between Seoul and Gwangju in the southwest. The time it takes to get from Seoul to Busan will apparently be shortened to 2 hours and 10 minutes and Seoul to Gwangju to 1.5 hours, so significantly shorter. They'll also stop only once or twice to reduce travel time as well. President Yoon said Korea has embarked on a train revolution based on 20 years of high-speed train operations, and he added that the KTX Cheongryong trains will run more frequently between Seoul and Busan once more railways are added between Pyeongtaek and Osung by 2028. He also vowed to expand the high-speed rail network across the nation to make the entire country reachable within a couple of hours. So, if you're commuting to areas outside of the capital area, maybe you don't have to move house and maybe you can take the faster KTX trains.
Shorten travel times and hopefully boost regional development in the process. That's the aim anyway. An even faster KTX train, shaving down by the dozens of minutes.
Yeah, so every minute counts, I guess. Busan is a very popular destination. Yeah. And of course, it's not just about the faster trains as well, but having more trains as well. It's probably going to be a bit more convenient, especially with national holidays like Chuseok, for example, where there's this whole exodus of people going to their hometowns. So it could prove useful.
All right, let's move on to our fourth keyword of the day.
Campaigning continues.
So rival parties are continuing their campaigns, now less than 10 days away until we head to the polls, stomping regions outside the capital area. DP Chief Lee Jae-myung, meanwhile, will be in court to attend a trial. What's the latest?
Yeah, so it couldn't come at a worse timing, I guess, for the DP chair in the heat of campaigning at the moment. But the People's Power Party interim chief, Han Dong-eun, is set to visit the Chungcheong region today. He plans to support PPP candidates by visiting Tangjin Traditional Market, Onyang Onchon Station in Asan, Songsan Lake Park, and Cheongdang New Town in Cheonan in the morning. In the afternoon, he'll move on to Sejong and then to Taejeon. Later, he'll conduct an on-site campaign in Cheongju and Eunsong in North Chungcheong Province. Now, Han has been touring the metropolitan area for 4 days and visited Busan and South Gyeongsang Province yesterday. So continuing his busy schedule, Yoon Jae-ok, the co-chair of the campaign committee, will also conduct supportive campaigns in Changwon and Sacheon. And yes, as you mentioned, meanwhile, DP Chief Lee Jae-myung is set to attend his trial related to charges of embezzlement and bribery concerning the Daejeon-dong Seongnam FC and Baekhyun-dong scandals that have been kind of crippling the smearing the Democratic Party as of late. Now, the trial is scheduled for the morning, and we'll have to see how long the trial lasts and whether he'll be resuming his campaign duties afterwards. But Kim Bo-kyum, the DP's co-chair of the campaign committee, will be touring the Gangwon, North Chungcheong, and Daegu North Gyeongsang, basically the TK regions, to support DP candidates. Following that, he'll garner support for DP candidates in Cheongju and then move on to Kumi and Suseong District and Chung District in Daegu as well. So, so spreading across the nation in terms of campaigns and, more loudspeakers and trucks being out in those areas as well.
All right, so two rival parties' campaign rally seems to be in full swing. Again, less than 10 days to go until voters head to the polls for the general election. So this is kind of their last-minute-ditch effort. Now, we'll talk a little bit about some of the promised policies in our second hour on GMS Focus. Let's move on to our final keyword of the day.
Anti-competitive.
So let's talk again about the network usage fees. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative has expressed concern against bills in Korea's parliament related to internet network usage fees, calling them anti-competitive. Tell us more.
Right. So this came in its 2024 report on foreign trade barriers. It mentioned bills aiming to make foreign content providers like streaming services pay network fees to Korean internet service providers. Now, the USTR mentioned that this could unfairly benefit Korean competitors, as some Korean internet providers also offer content services as well. So the big three internet service providers is what the report is mentioning. Now, it added that such a mandate could be anti-competitive by further strengthening Korea's ISP oligopoly of three major providers to the detriment of the content industry, in its words. USTR also pointed out that Washington has raised the issue with Seoul on several occasions last year as well. Now, ISPs here argue that foreign content providers should also pay fees as their subscribers use the internet network to access content. So there is a little bit of tension between both sides. This issue has even led to some lawsuits due to resistance from some foreign firms as well. Now, the report also revisited discussions with Korea on expanding market access for U.S. products, including fruits, urging quicker approval processes. Compared to last year's report on this matter or similar matters, this year's document is shorter and includes language suggesting a recognition of countries' rights to implement trade measures for legitimate public purposes. That was a sentence that wasn't found in last year's report. Now, this has drawn criticism from U.S. industry groups who worry it could signal kind of a softer stance on foreign trade barriers by the U.S. government. We'll have to see if the same language applies after the November U.S. presidential election in what seems to be a possible Donald Trump re-election, who's, of course, a bit more of a protectionist, and whether he'll continue with his America First policies or try to re-implement them will have to be seen. But so still some tensions caused by this whole usage of the Korean internet or data network, something that's been a contentious issue for quite some time now, so resurfacing. But the bill itself is actually still pending, so nothing set in stone at the moment, but a cause for concern for the US trade representative nonetheless.
Thank you so much, Adam, for today's coverage. Have a safe day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're very welcome. See you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.